We are going to turn here to our third and final segment of the evening. We're really excited to be speaking with Naib Man of WAWG, the Writers Against the War in Gaza, which is a group that formed at the end of October. It's a group of media and culture workers that came together to speak out against Israel's genocide on Gaza. And it's a project, I think that's worth noting, that was modeled on the American Writers Against the Vietnam War. So, you know, this is a continuum of movement and a continuum of fighting against imperialism and toward Palestinian freedom and the freedom of other occupied peoples. And this group has staged several high-visibility direct actions, probably how you've heard of them if you have, of WAWG, since its founding. Most recently, in a four-pronged action on March 14th, targeted specifically at the New York Times for manufacturing consent for the U.S.-Israeli war machine, specifically, you know, what's going on in Gaza. And it was, again, a four-pronged action. First, the Times morning routes for the paper couldn't be executed as planned because activists blockaded the distribution trucks from leaving the printer for at least 3 hours, the wee hours of the morning. Then at 9 a.m., as various employees started arriving to the New York Times building in Midtown Manhattan for their annual State of the Times address, they were blocked and harangued by at least 200, probably more like 300 pro-Palestine protesters who sat in at three locations with over 120 arrests. And then at that same time, scores of what we called newsboys were distributing a mock paper called The New York War Crimes. It's now in its sixth issue that's put together by WAWG and others. They were distributing that newspaper, over 8,000 copies in 100 locations across the city, and also a website, which is www.newyorkwarcrimes.com, was launched, and that website brings together contemporary Palestinian writing as well as historic examples of why the New York Times supports the U.S. war machine over and over and over again. And so now I'd like to welcome WAWG member Naib Mian onto the show, onto WBAI, to talk about all of this, you know, and how us media workers and culture workers are responding to the genocide. So, hi, Naib. It's so good to be here with you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And maybe I should state for clarity's sake that I'm somewhat involved in this whole project, and I'm proud to say so. So let's talk first about why we're pinpointing the Times. Obviously, they're not the only, you know, mainstream media outlet that is manufacturing consent for war.
Yeah, I mean, our argument is very clear. The Times has blood on its hands. It's a weapon in the arsenal of America's war machine. They manufacture consent for genocide, for war, for foreign intervention. We can get into what that looks like, what that has looked like over the past 6 months in the current conflict in Gaza, as well as over the past several decades. But you're right. I mean, the Times is not the only ones who are doing this. This is the case across all of American media. The thing about the Times, though, is that they do this under the guise of liberalism and objectivity. The Times doesn't have the reputation of right-wing propaganda. It operates as this authority. They like to call themselves the paper of record.
Mm-hmm.
It's the paper that this country's power brokers wake up to in the morning.
Absolutely.
It's the mouthpiece for those same people. So, you know, our demand is also clear. We need to boycott, divest, and unsubscribe from the Times. That means not reading the paper, not playing their games, not cooking their recipes, divesting from this idea that they're these arbiters of quality journalism.
And quality life, elite life.
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's the paper of those people who are running this country, running this city. And if you're still subscribing, unsubscribe, and you can channel those donations towards this radio station or towards material support for folks who are in Gaza right now.
Absolutely right. So that's the call. You know, that's the ask of these organizers, is to boycott, divest, and unsubscribe from the New York Times. And, you know, some people are like, well, how am I going to learn about the world if I don't subscribe to the New York Times? And, you know, I
read the Independent.
Read the Independent. Listen to WBAI. But I test you. Like, a lot of, well, first of all, when it's local coverage, even in New York City, but especially in other places, you know, there's other local papers like that have covered the issues that the Times are getting to before that. So maybe, like, look into local news, look into other sources, especially if it's in the Middle East. You know, a lot of Middle Eastern sites, you translate their coverage. So consider other perspectives. And if you need to, like, hop on someone's Time subscription every once in a while, it's okay. We won't kill you. You can pool your subscriptions. But if 10 of your friends have subscriptions, cut that down to one. Take your money away from them and show them that you care, that they're... Anyway, I'll get off my high horse. So let's talk more about the website that I was talking about, www.newyorkwarcrimes.com. What the different sections are there? We offer a history section, a data section, these close reads of New York Times articles, and then, you know, coverage from Palestinian writers. But kind of tell us about how it's a good weapon against the Times.
Totally, yeah. The website is this comprehensive analysis of the New York Times and what journalism since October 7th and before has looked like. We've looked at coverage since October 7th with these close line-by-line readings of their articles. And, you know, the Times has been framing this narrative of inexplicable terrorism by Hamas with no historical context that Israel is responding to proportionally, that the U.S. is this cautious ally that's urging restraint. You know, they're framing this idea that the attacks that we're seeing on hospitals and schools are regrettable but necessary. I mean, it's really criminal stuff. They're ignoring stories of the dead, wounded, and kidnapped Palestinians, or they lace them with this victim blaming that those victims were supporters of Hamas. There's these... you know, just completely fabricated stories about sexual violence being conducted by Hamas that have been discredited many times. We did deep data analysis, sort of scraping all of the articles that have been published since October 7th, and found that the Times reported on anti-Semitism 5 times more than Islamophobia, despite, you know, substantial rise in Islamophobia across the country. Israelis and Americans were quoted far more than Palestinians, both official and unofficial sources. And meanwhile, the death toll in Gaza has climbed to more than 25 times that in Israel. So there's these deep disparities in how they're reporting on the issue. But it doesn't start on October 7th, right? History doesn't start on October 7th. There's a long history of the Times' shoddy reporting and falsehoods that they've used to substantiate claims that led us to war in Iraq, to the disaster in Libya, to regime changes in Latin America. This is something that the Times has been doing for a long time. So, and then we also published the New York War Crimes paper, and that, you know, while the website is this analysis of the New York Times and what they've been doing, the paper is really printing what the Times refuses to print, which is writings from Palestine, voices of Palestinian prisoners, the names of martyrs. You know, we're offering something that American news media and the Times refuses to allow the public to see.
And you were able to get that newspaper into, like, a lot of bodegas. I mean, a lot of the bodega owners in this city are Yemeni or otherwise Arab. Can you talk about that, like how you're able to have this sort of grassroots reach?
Yeah. We recruited hundreds of folks to go across, I think, 4 of the city's 5 bureaus, placing them in bodegas in various sites. I think some people put them in mosques. So, you know, there's
lots of public institutions, too, libraries, schools, places like this.
Newsstands across the city. I mean, this is, it's a local effort. We're reaching people where they are. And I think, you know, people are thirsty and hungry for real news.
And that's what I wanted to talk about now, which is that people are thirsty and that people are acting. You know, one thing, too, on the website that I want to mention really briefly is a style guide that, you know, tells, you know, either if you're a reader, you know, wakes you up to some of the coded language that we've been reading that is dehumanizing and just sometimes not accurate. But also for writers, right? Access to, like, how can we, like, write in ways that, you know, are humanizing, that are truth-telling. But that took a lot of work on a lot of different people's parts to put the data analysis, style guide, distribution, all this stuff. People are being driven to committed action in a way that we haven't seen in a while. And of course, it's really difficult that this is happening because there's a genocide happening. It makes the factor for analysis that's really big, right? Talk a little bit about that, about how we've seen people in New York City, but also around the world, doing this sort of committed action. Now we're, you know, it's been since October, we're 6 months in, and people are still being very active.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing folks continue to mobilize. Momentum is sustaining. We're not going anywhere. People are still in the streets. And, you know, in fact, we're getting more organized. We're escalating. You're seeing actions at cultural institutions, at media institutions. You're seeing people organize within their sectors. I think that that's incredibly important. We have to make sure that wherever we are, whatever work that we're doing is, you know, is a tool, is a weapon resisting this war that America is waging. You know, here in America, we're not just complicit. This is America's war on Palestine as much as it is Israel's. And it's our responsibility to continue resisting here.
Right. And can you just delve in a little further into how we have media outlets like The Times, but also CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, that are associated sort of more with the Democratic Party. These are not MAGA outlets. These are not raving Fox News outlets that sort of foreground a concern about the humanitarian situation in Gaza, but still support the war and sort of reflect the Biden administration line in that way of wanting to deliver humanitarian aid to the same people that are being bombed with American weapons.
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of creating this illusion, I think, that we have in this country of diverse opinions, diverse political opinions. What we're seeing across the board is the same thing, right? Whether it's bombs that are being dropped or bombs that are being dropped with some, like, food attached to them. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, across all of these different news outlets, you're seeing them toe the line of the American government, whether we have a Republican in office or a Democrat. Support for Israel is, you know, there's no red line, as they've said over and over again. And whether they publish some articles that publish the faces of Palestinians who have died at the same time, you know, the majority of reporting is just, you know, it's basically word for word what we're hearing from Israeli officials. Just, again, the mouthpiece of the American government and the mouthpiece of the IDF.
And it's like would you agree that it's diminishing? I mean, you don't see it as much in the news. There's been this terrible, terrible, out of the news I've read, I think some of the most horrendous, you know, things that have happened since the genocide started, you know, in October, going on in Al-Shifa Hospital in the north of Gaza, which is receiving no humanitarian aid. Do you feel like we're not hearing as much about it? And then at all being covered?
And there's also this phenomena of the passive voice in these headlines, you know, yeah. Like, bomb blast kills 73 in refugee camp.
When they do come.
U.S. demands, you know, investigation. Like, it's not a bomb didn't kill people. Israel dropped the bomb on people. Like, you know, it's just that whole passive voice that do almost anything to avoid stating who's responsible for the violence.
Yeah, I mean, you see them bending over backwards so hard in these headlines. I mean, it's like, bullet was attracted to person that went through them. And, like, it's just ridiculous. And truly, Amba, as you were saying, like, the news gets worse and worse every day. I wake up and I see what's happening, and it's hard to believe. And as you're saying, we're not really seeing as much reporting about it. I mean, what we're seeing out of northern Gaza is pure horror. You know, aid reached for the first time in months, and the response was a raid on Al-Shifa Hospital, the kidnapping of journalists. And, you know, whatever reporting we have seen has called this an attack on Hamas when actually it was the Gazan official responsible for distributing that food aid that the IOF murdered.
Yeah.
And so it's like a clear operation of punishing people for distributing aid and enforcing this famine.
Right. And I heard about how, sorry to cut you off, but I heard about how too, more in detail, people had begun to organize themselves, like the men in the area and different aid workers in the area had begun to organize themselves to distribute the aid, and they like were attacking that human infrastructure. But in our last, we have like 1 minute here. And, you know, I was going to ask you about the Ramadan ceasefire resolution, but everybody knows about that. So I want to quickly touch on how in this Screams Without Words, How Hamas Weaponized Sexual Violence, this article that the New York Times, you know, came out with saying that at the beginning of the year, saying that Hamas, used sexual violence in a systematized way has been very disproven in many regards. You know, again, we're not saying that rape is not used in war, but it's very, very poor reporting on the Times part, as called out by so many other news agencies. You know, they just added this little note, an update note, in that article yesterday, saying newly released video viewed by the Times showed the bodies of two teenage girls in Kibbutz Be'eri were fully clothed, not unclothed, like they claim at the beginning of the article, and that this undercuts this account from the Israeli military paramedic, who was one of their main sources. You know, your comment on that in our last 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, this piece of journalism was just, it's a surreal piece of reporting. I mean, from who they hired to report this story, these people with no reporting background, to the sort of like constant holes that we're starting to see in the reporting, like the three main victims that they mentioned in the piece. One of them, the family, has denied the claims that the New York Times article made. The other two, as you're saying, this evidence just came out that, you know, the kibbutz itself is saying that they weren't victims of sexual assault. This video showed that they probably weren't victims of sexual assault. And the Times refuses to retract the story. They refuse to sort of take accountability for the fact of the shoddy reporting. And they're committing to sort of manufacturing this narrative despite evidence against it constantly.
Right. As John said, John and I were talking earlier, he was like, they could have come out with an article, but it's just not even a footnote. It's just in brackets.
Yeah, can't count on integrity from the Times when the chips are really on the table.
So our time is wrapping up here, but thank you so much, Naib Mian, for joining us from Writers Against the War in Gaza. That ask is to boycott, divest, unsubscribe. And thanks for listening to the Independent News Hour here on WBAI 99.5 FM. We will be hearing Abadan by Wayed Bouhassoun. Sorry, I am Amba Gregorian with my co-host John Tarleton and joined by our great board operator, Reggie Johnson.